Hello, this is Pastor John Coleman of the Olivet Baptist Church. You, my friend, if you're a believer, are supposed to be living a sanctified life. But you might be saying, that's impossible, Pastor John. Sanctification is a process by which I find it difficult to attain. Well, on Sunday night, January the 14th, 1990, we had preaching here at Olivet. That's a historical mandate. We have preaching every Sunday night. We have preaching for this purpose, and so that God's word might be manifested and so that the church might be benefited by that same word. And I want you, my friend, that have maybe even gone to a denominational sanctified church, really to understand the ways that you can gain spiritual sanctification. Let's get right into the message. Thank you for receiving another Point A Take. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed to Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass that after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way in which you may go, for you have not passed this way hitherto for, that is. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Think with me tonight. How do we do that today? Joshua was saying, Aaron, clean yourself up. God is going to show you something that he's never shown you before. God was saying to them, perform an act. Because what God is about to demonstrate to you, his power, you're not ready in the state or the condition that you're in. See, God has spoken in various times, various ways to his people. And if he would speak to us today, he would say in the, I guess we would call our subject tonight, God's plea to his people, would be sanctify yourselves. You might say, I'm already sanctified. Well, I believe that most of us think that we are, and we live like we are. We hope that we are. As is my way on Sunday night, I'd like you to take these notes. I just want to give you 7 ways that you can sanctify yourself. 7 is a number of completion with God. In 7 days, God created the heavens and the earth. 7 is a number of completion for the nation Israel. We, in our day and age, call it lucky number 7. There's nothing lucky about it. It's a day of completion that God has used. And so I'm just going to give you 7 ways in which we can sanctify ourselves. See, we have to respond to the question of God's command. How, Lord, do I sanctify myself? You might say, how do I sanctify myself? I'm a teenager. How do I sanctify myself? I'm an older person. How do I sanctify myself as a young parent? Real questions. And God has an answer for you tonight. And I promise you that if you set out to do this, if you set out to sanctify yourself, that something will happen in your life. First way that you sanctify yourself is by rendering dead your sinful nature. Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what sanctify means. To present yourself before God, clean and ready. How do you do that? You render yourself to be dead to sin. To be dead to sin. Colossians 3:5 says, render inactive therefore the members of your members upon the earth, And then he tells us to flee certain things such as fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, and all that kind of stuff. So what you have to do is you have to present yourselves as dead to a past sinful nature. When God says, sanctify yourselves, you say, I'm going to continue to live a clean life. I'm going to continue to be clean in every way that I know how. Now, how do you do that? By first of all realizing that outward influences are not the measure of standard, but God's word is. In a world that today especially does not want to listen to God's word, to churches that will not listen to God's word, church people that will not listen to God's word, you render yourself, you say, Lord, I render dead my sinful nature within me. I count those things dead that distract me from the path that you have chosen me to walk on. Once you do that, you are presenting yourself sanctified unto the Lord. You know, a lot of times we think that the sanctified life is when we shout, scream, holler, hoop, and run and scream, speak in tongues, fall out, and lay hands and kick and walla. That's not the sanctified life. The sanctified life is a life where you say, I will not do what I used to do anymore. Joshua said to them, God is calling you to clean yourselves up. Now, in order for me to render myself dead, I have to know that I've been made alive. And how do I know that I've been made alive? Because I hear the call of God daily in my life to say, clean your act up. I can't enter into your minds, Christians, when you're alone, when you're wrestling, when you are dealing with issues. God can, because he knows your mind. He knows your heart. But I can tell you that your pastor has to constantly do those same things that I'm calling you to do. I have to present myself alive, but dead to the sinful nature that is so easily besetting me and pulling me back. There's one thing that you want to experience as a mature Christian, and that's victory, and then the next victory, and then the next, and then the next, and all that those victories have to offer you. So render yourself, present yourself as alive unto Christ, and not dead unto Christ. Second way that you can sanctify yourselves, as God gives his people that plea, is by throwing out of our lives evil habits. You see, not just not rendering to the evil habits, but throwing out the ones that we possess. You know, it's interesting. You youngsters, your parents are calling you to be obedient. It's fine. You've got to throw out disobedience. Parents, God is calling us to be fair and consider our youngsters and consider all things. We've got to throw out old habits. I recall there's an old adage that is said in many houses. There's a man that had five sons, and he never knew whether his sons were doing wrong. So what he would do is every other night, he would arbitrarily get a razor strap and whip all of his sons. And once his son says, Daddy, why are you whipping me? And the daddy said, well, boy, I'm whipping you in case you did something that I didn't know about and you got by. Well, I would say to that daddy, throw out that old habit, because that's not a very good habit. You know what you're going to do to that kid? You're going to grow that kid up to resent you. You're going to grow that kid is going to resent you and resist you. So if you want to be sanctified, you've got to throw out those old habits. Colossians 3:9 tells me this, lie not one to the other, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Chose that scripture because that's what Paul is saying, put off evil deeds. You can't live a sanctified life until you've put off those things that are not better for you. Put them off. I think I alluded to that this morning. I have to put off speaking sometimes and put on listening. And some of us have to put on other things and put off other things. We all individually know what they are. You want to live a sanctified life? You want to answer to God's plea to be sanctified? Then I admonish you to render yourself dead and your nature alive to God, and then throw off all of those evil habits, those habits which you have contemplated putting off but haven't put them off yet. That's how you live the sanctified life. Let's jump back to our friends that's always talking, Randall, about their sanctification. When somebody says, honey, I live holy and undefiled all the time, ask them, what have they put off lately? Because each of us have to continuously put off. And as we put off or throw aside those evil habits, we take good habits on. I'm going to challenge each of you this week to do this. Put off an old habit that you have that's no good and pick up a godly one and start practicing that in its place. And if you do that once a week, that's 52 times in 1990 that you picked up 52 good new habits and thrown off 52 old ones. And you know what you would become in a year? A beautiful creation. And never go back and get that old habit. Parents, with your children, you're going to have a habit to lose your cool, blow your top, flip out and go off. That's a bad habit. You need to put that off. You need to know that your children are going to bring you to the limit to Scream City. And when they bring you to the limit of Scream City, you won't scream. What did Paul say? Having done all to stand, I'm going to stand there. Husbands, your wives are going to drive you further and up the walls, but up to the chimney. And when they drive you up the chimney, you're not supposed to climb that chimney. You're going to stay right there, and you're going to deal with that wife. Wives, your husbands are going to continue to do those same old habits that they've been doing for years since you've been with them. And you are going to hang right in there and not going to ever say, I'm fed up with you. You're going to put off that old habit. You're going to change. You're going to show your husband the new wife that he married. That's how you live the sanctified life. See, I can talk about one couple here. Sometimes I'm around their house, and one of them always, oh, you just not here with him. You just don't know. I live with him. And I always say, be godly. Be the woman that Christ made you. It's going to be all right. See, we've got to change our habits. That's how you live the sanctified life. Another way that you live the sanctified life is by denying yourselves and the power of yourself. Denying yourself and the power of yourself. On Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus speaks to the issue. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, the same shall save it. You want to live the sanctified life? Deny you. Eureka, when you go to school next semester, or this semester, put the other student first. If you want to live the sanctified life? Put yourself in the background and elevate the other person. Seek to build up other people, and don't seek any prestige on your own. That's living the sanctified life. I believe that Christ rendered himself dead to the world and alive unto his Father. I believe that Christ knew that he didn't have any evil habits that he had to throw out, but he practiced good habits. But I also believe that Christ had to deny himself. He said, Father, not my will, but whose? But thine be done. You want to live the sanctified life? Do that. You know, it's not always you. It's the other person. You see, if I can never place myself in a situation of denial, I have never placed myself in a situation of acceptance. God will not accept me unless I deny myself. If I do not deny myself, I am denying him. Because he is the one that has called me to be his child. If I live that sanctified life, God's plea is sanctify yourselves, deny yourselves, throw out all your old habits, become dead to your past nature. That's three ways out of the seven that you can sanctify yourselves. Do you want to deny yourself? If you don't want to deny yourself, have you ever been given the opportunity to deny yourself? I believe that most of us in this room had to deny ourselves of something to be here tonight. That's good. And I believe that the ones that are not here that could be here refuse to deny themselves that privilege. And once you refuse to deny yourself that privilege to be here learning how to live the sanctified life, it's going to be very difficult for those persons over the years to render dead to that sinful nature. That sinful nature is going to come back and rehash itself and use them and abuse them. They aren't going to throw out those old habits. You're going to see those old habits multiply. And needless to say, denying themselves have no part of their Christian experience. And that is what God is calling us to do in this Christian experience, to deny ourselves. Does denying yourself hurt you? No. Denying yourself is good for you. Let's come down to the fourth one. What is the fourth element in which we can sanctify ourselves? By placing Christ on the throne of your heart and by allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to direct you. You live the sanctified life by putting God on the throne. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? That is difficult for men to do. Very difficult for men to deny themselves and to put God on the throne. But this is the way Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to these beautiful words. He says this, but sanctify, notice he used that word. In other words, he's saying right here, but set apart the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, have a special place for him. And be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. See, when you place Christ on the throne of your heart, you are setting aside a certain place for him. Sanctification is a process, believers. And we become more and more sanctified as we realize that he has the throneship of our lives. Ask yourself this when you're on the way home tonight. Who's in charge of me? And if you answer, I am, then he has been dethroned. Sanctification is this, church. When I was praying this morning before I came out to preach, circumstances had arrived later on in the week that made me feel like I didn't want to preach what I preached this morning. This is what sanctification is. When I said, Lord, I don't want to preach this now because it's going to come out different. Sanctification is, the Lord said, shut up. That's why I gave it to you. See to me? See to me? Sanctification, my friend, is placing Christ on the throne and letting his Holy Spirit have you. And you don't even want to do what you initially set out to do, but when you're sanctified, God says, it's all right. You do that. So sanctification is a process that you don't belong to yourself, that you belong to God, and that when he has the throne position in your life, you do what he wants you to do. It was interesting because last Thursday night in our leadership class, we had a visitor, a sinner. And this man, he even got involved in the dialogue. It was beautiful. And we were talking about what God would do if people don't listen up. And the man said, oh, I don't know. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. And I tried to explain to the young man, there is a question of who's on the throne in your life. And I had to draw on the whiteboard up there a circle and a seat in it, and I put an E on the seat saying that's most of men. Their egos are on the throne. Their ego rules. Christ wants to dethrone your ego, and he wants to be on the throneship of your life. Then he'll rule. Well, after my argument, the young man still didn't hear me. But that truth stands present there. In order to be sanctified, you have to let Christ have the rulership in your life. Number five, how do I sanctify myself? I sanctify myself by being satisfied with Jesus through heart fellowship. Think with me. I sanctify myself through being satisfied with Jesus. Not through coming to church, not through tradition, not through modus operandi or the modes of operation that you function, but through heart fellowship. Eureka, sanctification takes place when the heart has been stimulated to be in fellowship with God. Good scripture. Good scripture is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus says it this way, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, let me stop right there. If I said the sanctification is being satisfied with Jesus through heart fellowship, Jesus says, you've got to take my yoke. Take my fellowship. Peter, that means it's something that you've got to choose to do. Jesus says, my fellowship is right here. I'm waiting to koinonia with you. I'm waiting to have a relationship with you. Guess what you've got to do, believer? If you want to live the sanctified life, James, you've got to take that. You've got to take what he has offered. I remember when I was a kid in school, and every year at 75th Street School, they would give us these shots. I remember the shot brigade would come to the school. And we, you remember, there'd be a white truck parked outside, and you'd have to go in the little truck. They'd pull it up on the little thing, and they had this woman dressed there. And all I saw when I went in was needles. All them needles looked like they was 18 inches long. See, you know, they didn't have little needles, and you'd have to go and get your polio shot and all that. Now, my mother would sign, and you know what would happen? They would give us a little shot slip, and it would have a picture of a child holding his arm crying. Now, that's the worst thing that you can give a kid to take home and say, have your mama sign it, and so you can get a shot. So my mama would sign that thing, and I'd bring it back, and I'd give it to the teacher because they taught me to be obedient. What I should have done, if I was smart, I would have balled that thing up and thrown it away. Everybody with the shot slip going over there. But I went, and I looked at the picture, and I gave it to the teacher, and they said, sign up. In other words, I asked for it. I asked to get that needle in my arm. Now, that's what you have to do. Because if you want to live the sanctified life, Jesus says, I got a hard task set for each and every one of you. Take it. It's just like taking the shot slip and saying, all right, Lord, I know this is going to be rough. I know this is going to hurt. I know this is going to be like that. And Jesus says, right, but you need that kind of stuff in you. See, I needed that, what do you call it, that insulin or whatever it is in me to keep me from getting a disease. But what the nurse had to do was prick my skin and put that needle to put the good stuff in me. When Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, he goes on in verse 30 and he says, it's easy and the burden is light. So if you want to live the sanctified life, fifthly, you've got to be satisfied with Jesus through heart fellowship. I choose to take on a servant's attitude. You want to hear something interesting? Most people that think that they're sanctified don't think that they have to do anything. They're sanctified by virtue of their presence in Christ. No. Take his yoke. And that's how you know that you've been truly sanctified. Let's count down and see how you wager up. Have you rendered those sinful deeds and your body is dead? Yes, Pastor John. Fine. Well, then you sanctified yourself. Secondly, we ask, have you thrown out all the bad habits of your life? You have to ask or answer like me. No, Pastor John, I haven't thrown out all the bad habits. Well, then you haven't quite made the sanctified life. Thirdly, have you denied yourself and the power of self? Well, Pastor John, I hope I am. Well, you haven't quite reached the sanctified life unless you deny yourself. Have you placed Christ on the throne of your heart? Well, I said I did when I accepted him. I'm not asking you about verbiage. I'm asking you, is he on the throne? Does he rule? Listen to this, Nikia Lattimore. Your mother doesn't rule you. Christ does. Your mother governs your actions. There's a difference between parental governing and God ruling in the Christian life. So, then you ask, fifthly, am I satisfied with heart fellowship with Jesus? Or does that bug me? Now, if being dissatisfied with heart fellowship bugs you, you are the furthest thing away from sanctification. I was talking with Deacon Moaning after this sermon this morning, and I says, my goodness, I think I put myself in a peculiar situation. I'm supposed to be preaching about body parts and spirituality. I said to Cliff, what comes next? And he says, well, the shoulders. I says, no, the neck. And so Cliff says, well, maybe you can preach about stiff neck. Ah, good. That a light went on. It's good. There's a lot of things in the Bible about stiff-necked people. But you see, what happens is that when you are satisfied with heart fellowship, if I preach about stiff-necked people, you've got to come saying, talk to me, sanctify me. If my neck is stiff, point it out to me, because I want my neck to be loose. See, but Sonia, when you come and say, oh, he's going to talk about stiff necks, and I know I've been disobedient, so come to church Sunday, you aren't living the sanctified life. Let's rush. Number six, I live the sanctified life by delighting in God's will and in his control of my life. I delight in God's will and him having control in my life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, in everything, Paul says, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you delight in everything and give thanks to God? That's living the sanctified life. Or can you honestly say that something has happened in your life and you cannot say thank you for it? This is how you know you're living the sanctified life. Anything happens in your life, you're supposed to say thanks. I'm not bragging on Sister Walker, but I spoke with her this morning over the phone. And if any of you know about her and her sons and the dilemmas that she's had over the years, first thing Aubrey said to me is, Pastor, I'm doing fine. I just said, thank God. I said, what? She said, I just said, thank God for whatever he brings on me, because I know he's in control and I have given it up. She has sanctified herself. See? Now, the things that happen in your life, if you can't say thank God, well, then you have not delighted in God's will and control for you. You have to say, I'm pleased with this will and his way. And seventh and lastly, you sanctify yourselves by making it our will to do all those things that glorify God. Put that down. You sanctify yourself by making it your will to do all those things that glorify him. Paul ends up in Colossians 3:17, and he says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and to the Father by him. How do I live my sanctified life? Am I making everything God's will? And do I do everything to his glory? Or is there certain things, Blake, that you may do? Well, I'm going to do this for God, but the other one isn't. Blake, I got to tell you guys this. We had an exam or something going on in leadership. And we were asking some questions to the men about what makes us do various things in our Christian experience. Blake was like a broken record that night. He kept saying, because the Lord said it. Because the Lord said it. I mean, every time we go around and ask somebody, and Blake would say, because the Lord expects it. And then I finally said, why are you doing this? And you know what Peter said? Peter said something to this fact. If I did not have him in my life, I would be in a mess. And I can depend upon nothing but him, because without him, my life was a mess. That is being sanctified. Everything is God's will. Let me end up by saying this. As we obey these simple seven manners of conduct, you develop the Bible idea of the sanctified life. Now, since you've taken the notes, you have the notes. And what I want you to do is work on one a week. And in 7 weeks, you can have this licked. As a matter of fact, I think since I have the notes in front of me, I'm going to hang them right up on my desk. And I'm going to work on the first one. Lord, this week I'm going to render everything in my nature that is sinful as dead and see what God can do for me. Why don't you do the same thing with me? Take those 7 points and allow God to bless you. Let's pray as we end tonight. Father, what is it to be sanctified? It is to be set apart. Father, we do not know how to set ourselves apart, but your word has communicated in these past 30 minutes, some ways that we can do it. Father, we pray that we may be sensitive to what you've said. And Father, that we may glorify you in living the sanctified life. Help these, Lord, that have come out. Bless them for having done so. There's not much fanfare here. Not a lot of noise on Sunday night. Not a lot to say, but a lot to think about. And Father, we thank you for this gathering. Now we ask as we take our departure that you guide us as we go our ways to our homes. And we ask it all in the glorious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Live the sanctified.
What a great message preached so many years ago at the vet. And I'm glad that you could come and share the receiving of that message with us. I'm just here in the studio and we're looking for something to identify this by because it was darkened as I was listening to that. Okay, January 14th, 1990. That's a long time ago. And Sunday night sermons or lectures is what I call them. I would go back to the church and because I was raised in the background company, my pastor was one that would do that. He would always have Sunday night sermons. But let me comment on this. I looked at the seven things and I haven't been living up to them. No, I have to be. You know what? That is, I needed to hear that. I love to hear me preach. You know, I tell people often, I don't go visit churches anymore because I have enough stuff in my library. If I listen to myself, preach to myself, and if I repented of everything that I need to repent of, I will be right with God. And this is one of those 7-point sermons. That's what you give them on a Sunday night for 30 minutes. You don't beat your people down. They come out to the church or to the Bible study. You can give a Bible study like that, simple Bible study in 30 minutes. Let them copy down the verses and the concepts and have them know that we have to, you know, render the deeds of our flesh inactive. We have to render ourselves dead. Good sermon. Thank you for coming to my website. Glad that we can put this piece up as a Sunday morning sermon. And 7 ways to sanctify yourself. God bless. You continue to pray for me and I'll continue to lift you up also. Take care.